On January 3rd, 2020, just as we were getting warmed up to the new year, Trump decided he would say hello to his good friends in the Middle East by sending a drone to assassinate the Iranian general Qassem Soleimani and several other Iraqi military officials. The strike happened as Soleimani was leaving his flight into Iraq in order to deliver a message from Iran to Iraq regarding requests that had been made. Since the strike, Iran has completely backed out of the nuclear deal. Iraq has said they want U.S. troops to leave their country, and militia groups all over the region have sworn revenge on the U.S. Back in August of 2019, we did a show looking at the history of the United States' relationship with Iran. And in this show, we're going to be looking at who Qassem Soleimani was, why he was assassinated, and what this means for the Middle East and the U.S.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you running with lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen. It is a new year and we are back with new topics on the same stuff. This is the show where we give you a review of whether or not any show or whatever you're watching or looking at is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. As always, you are welcome. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PAX Inc., a black activist advocacy and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life of black people in America through education, culture shift, and economics. You check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's PAXInc.org. You know the deal. Leave a review, become a member, leave a donation, tell a friend to tell a friend to take a survey, to read a book, the Learning Center, to do all of that, because they are doing all of that for you. And this is going to be a big year, 2020. I'm already speaking that into existence. Let's make it happen. Today, we are going to be talking about the U.S. and its drone strike on Iranian General Qassem Soleimani. Now, before we get into the politics of everything, we have to get into the histories of the people involved, namely Qassem Soleimani, the man that was assassinated. Now, after his death, all parties seen on TV in the U.S., whether they agree with the strike or not, have labeled him as a monster that deserved to die. Meanwhile, in the region, he is being treated like a martyr and a hero. But nobody is really going into any detail beyond saying that he was responsible for the death of American soldiers. So let's crack his history open a bit. Qassem Soleimani was born on March 11, 1957, in the Kerman province of Iran. In 1975, he moved to Kerman City to help repay his father's debts. But during that time, he was also attending sermons from a revolutionary religious figure that spurred his own revolutionary activities. Following the Iranian Revolution in 1979, and for more on that, you can go and listen to the show that we did on Iran back in August 1st of 2019, Soleimani joined the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or the IRGC, or the Revolutionary Guard. The Revolutionary Guard is a part of the military branch of the Iranian government, and they are tasked with protecting the country's Islamic Republic political system from foreign interference and coup attempts. And the Revolutionary Guard is a large and powerful force with strong capabilities. But anyways, back to Soleimani. It wasn't until Saddam Hussein invaded Iran in 1980, starting the Iran-Iraq War that went from 1980 to 1988, that Soleimani really began to gain recognition and status on a national and international level. As he fought, commanded, trained, and organized troops and missions to retake lands captured by Iraq, he gained a reputation for bravery and as a warrior of the people for Iran. He was also engaging in irregular warfare, which is basically state against non-state warfare, usually based on propaganda and subterfuge. But as he was engaging in irregular warfare inside of Iraq, he met up with the Iraqi Kurds, and I spoke about them a bit during the show Kurds, Turkey, and the U.S., and that was released on the 19th of October, 2019. But anyways, he met up with the Iraqi Kurds and other groups inside of Iraq that opposed Saddam Hussein. Now, after the war in the 1990s, Soleimani increased his positive reputation in the region by combating drug trafficking in the Kerman province, an area that was and still is being used to transport Afghan opium to the West. Afghanistan is the leading supplier of opium in the world, and they have been since 2001. And drugs made from Afghan opium make up 90% of the illicit heroin globally, and more than 95% of the European supply. And Afghan opium was being transported through Iran and Turkey into Western nations, including European nations and the United States and the UK and Canada. Of course, the UK, that's part of European nations. Duh. Anyway, during 1999, as students were protesting the closure of a reformist newspaper, Soleimani, along with other officers, signed a letter to the president that said that if he did not crush the student rebellion, the military would and would consider overthrowing him. What followed was 7 days of chaos, during which 3 people were killed, hundreds injured, more than 200, and 70 were disappeared. Now, those of you that might not know what that word disappeared means when it's used like that, which I'm sure most of you do, it basically means you're gone, you're captured, you're taken, your state comes into your whatever, and they remove you from your wherever they took you from, and you are never seen or heard from again. You are disappeared. Anyways, in the late 1990s, when he became the commander of the Quds Force in the IRGC, and the Quds Force is kind of like a special forces type thing. It's kind of like a mixture between the CIA, the FBI, and the special forces. There isn't really an American equivalent, but it's like an intelligence apparatus as well as a special operations apparatus all rolled into one. But anyways, he became commander of that, and he helped arrange a ceasefire between Iraq and Mahdi. And following the 9/11 event, U.S. officials met with Iranian diplomats under the direction of Soleimani in order to combat the Taliban. The key intel was given to the U.S., who used that intel to mark bombing targets in Afghanistan. But the partnership ended when President Bush suddenly declared Iran to be a part of the axis of evil. Yeah, that'll end the partnership pretty well if you accuse me of being part of an axis of evil. Yeah, I can't rock with you no more. As commander of the Quds, Soleimani also strengthened the relationship between the Revolutionary Guard and Hezbollah, an Islamic political and militant group based out of Lebanon. Now, the group has strong ties to Iran and is believed to have been created by Iran to harass Israel by many. Now, the group has strong ties to Iran, like I said earlier, but the group is considered a terrorist organization by most Western nations, but Germany and the EU, who have only outlawed the military wing of the organization, but they still work with the political wing. It is backed by and backs a faction of the Lebanese parliament. Now, former CIA operatives describe him as the most powerful operative in the Middle East and the principal military strategist and tactician in Iran's fight to remove Western influence and growing Iranian influence in the region. And he is also believed to have influenced the Iraqi government's reorganization after the fall of Saddam. Now, during the Syrian Civil War, which I talked about in the show Russia, Syria, and the U.S., which was released on the 4th of April 2018, Soleimani was a supporter of the Syrian government and took personal control of various Iranian interventions and joint efforts with the Syrian government, Iranian forces, and Iraqi forces. He organized channels and forces that would continue to fight if the government fell, and help consolidate pro-government forces into the National Defense Forces in 2013. It is also believed that he had his command, the Quds, actively engaging in Syria as well. He is also critical to convincing the Russians to intervene on behalf of the Syrian government and in creating an alliance between Iran and Russia. In 2014, Soleimani became involved in the war against ISIL in Iraq, helping U.S. forces and U.S.-backed Kurds and pushing ISIL and ISIS and whatever else you want to call them out of key territories. According to some in the region, Iran and Soleimani had a bigger impact on the defeat of ISIL than the U.S. did. During their fights with ISIL, while they had a common enemy, the U.S. and Iran still had strained relations, and Soleimani refused to speak with or read any correspondence from U.S. officials. Throughout all of that, Soleimani was also sanctioned quite a few times. In 2007, he was sanctioned by the UN and the US for providing assistance to the Syrian government. And in 2011, he was sanctioned by the EU for essentially doing the same thing. So what we had was a man that was fiercely fighting for his country, his people, and his region. Not to say that he didn't engage in any nefarious activities. He was reported to have organized and planned the slaughter of hundreds of innocent people during the Syrian civil war. His special forces operations are reported to have negatively impacted thousands of people in the region. And his attempts to push America out of the region are responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American soldiers going back to the tail end of the Iraq war following 9/11. I frame things in the way that I did with regards to this man because far too often we get caught up in absolutes. This man is evil. This man is this. This man is that. When you look at the facts as I've laid them out, this man was another in a long line of war leaders. President Obama authorized over 500 drone strikes during his time in office, killing thousands and negatively impacting hundreds of thousands with his orders. President Trump has gone even further, increasing the use of drones and sending more troops into the Middle East. During Obama's first 2 years, he launched 186 drone strikes. Trump launched 238 in his first 2 years. Edward Gallagher, the special forces operator that was just pardoned by Trump, along with other special forces operators and military troops that have committed war crimes but are seen as heroes, operate in the same light as Soleimani. Let us not forget how many reports we've read of military troops raping and pillaging villages that they're going into, not even in the Middle East, but raping female troops in our own U.S. armed forces, mistreating troops in our own armed forces for being not white. All of these things are real and they all happen. The hundreds of people that this man killed, and I'm not pardoning it or excusing it, but what I am pointing out is the hypocrisy of calling this man evil when many of the senators in this very, when many of the people in this very nation have passed policies that have made it harder for poor people to get food, to get employment, to get access to resources that would allow them to survive, negatively impacting the lives of millions upon millions of people. Let us not talk about what's going on with the UN in Africa. And let's just not talk about what's going on in Africa in general, with how millions upon millions upon millions of people are being negatively impacted by Western policies. So I just think we have to get away from using these blanket terms like this man was evil, this man was good. All people are complicated, and Soleimani was just as complicated and just as nuanced as a lot of people want to believe that Donald Trump is. So, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that disagree with that, and I get the whole patriotism angle. Look, I'm a veteran myself. I served in the military, and I can tell you that I do not feel like my country cares about me, nor do I feel like many of the people that I served with really wanted me there. So miss me with all that. All right. The whole guise of, well, I'm American and you're not, so I deserve these certain response, are these certain things given to me, are these certain considerations, and you don't, as a black person, I'm super sensitive to that because white people have been saying that for my entire existence in this country, and even for a little bit before that, if we want to be accurate to history. So it's not enough to, you can't just say this man was evil. you got to look at what happened, what actually happened, what he was actually doing, and take it from another standpoint. Because again, Edward Gallagher was labeled as evil by the troops he served with. And he was still pardoned by Trump, still recognized as a hero, and still treated as a respectable member of society. I mean, you just got to laugh at it because it's hilarious. So it's interesting that if Soleimani was the same person that he was, but he was that person for the U.S., he would get praised. He would be called the ultimate good person. And if another country took him out, he would have been martyred. But this also explains why Soleimani is being viewed as a martyr in his own country and largely in the region. But let's get into why he was assassinated. So the official line for why Soleimani was taken out is that he was planning an imminent attack on America that had to, and he had to be removed for self-defense. Unfortunately, there is not a lot of information available on the details of that imminent attack, and I got my rabbit ears up when I do that, not to mention the intelligence apparatus that is being praised for the information has spent. I mean, this is another one of those where you just got to stop and pause, because the same intelligence apparatus that is being praised for the information has spent the entirety of this administration being criticized for incompetence. Now, that might be because all the way up until now, the intelligence agencies have been producing narratives and facts that are not pleasing to the administration, such as the Russians interfered in our election and they did it on behalf of Trump, or various other facts that might have been out there. Hillary Clinton didn't do anything wrong with her emails, or various other facts that are out there. CloudStrike is not a real thing, or various other facts that are out there. Ukraine did not, in fact, interfere in the presidential election. Various other facts that are out there. I mean, you just go down the list. The FBI did not do anything wrong in investigating the Trump campaign. You just go down the list. But on this, they're the greatest, and we should be believing them again. And that's just, anyways. So here's, I personally believe he was killed as part of an ongoing escalation between the U.S. and Iran since the withdrawal of the U.S. from the nuclear deal. And I talked about that in one of those shows I mentioned earlier. It has been reported that those briefing Trump on responses to Iranian aggression had the elimination of Soleimani on the slide as an extreme to make the other options look better. They didn't think, or they didn't expect him to actually go with that option, which means that military officials don't pay much attention to details like they say that they do. Because a blind, deaf, and dumb ass hair could have told them that he would at the very least be interested in the idea and at the very fact excited about it and seeing it as an opportunity to seem tough. And I don't believe this had anything to do with the death of American troops or American civilians or the loss of American assets. If that was the case, it'd be a lot of police stations and white power rallies being droned right now, right here in America. Unless we don't consider black people. Well, never mind. Not to mention all the American lives that are lost monthly in foreign countries at the hands of hostiles. Just earlier, there was an American life lost, an American worker, contractor, killed at the hands of another terrorist organization. And nobody droned those people. There was no war, no troops sent in. This was a statement killing and a political maneuver by Trump. But another question, was it legal? You see, that is where we run into some problems, because it is against international law for any government to kill another high-ranking government official, especially during peacetime. Soleimani was a major general of the Iranian military. It doesn't matter that the U.S. declared the Iranian Guard portion of the Iranian military a terrorist organization. The fact remains that it is still a branch of the recognized government, making him a high-ranking official. Even in the days of old, it was considered bad sport to kill a high-ranking official not on the battlefield. But this isn't just about international law, which we know that this administration don't give a fuck about. There's also concern about the United States' own internal policies that forbid the killing of high-ranking officials. If the world is opened up to the assassinations of state leaders and military generals anytime, any place, then stability goes out of the window. But two more things that this administration don't give a fuck about. Stability and internal policies. The place is another issue. Soleimani, an Iranian general, was killed in Iraq. And he had Iraqi officials in the vehicle with him when it was blowed up. And this was only the next in a line of drone strikes in Iraq without the Iraqi government giving its blessings. And in some cases, the Iraqi government actively saying, don't do this, which makes it a violation of sovereign airspace as well. But that's just one more thing that we know this administration don't give a fuck about. Other people's personal space. Since the evidence of an imminent attack has not been shared in any adequate way, because as far as we know, there was no evidence of an imminent attack. Was he planning an attack? Probably. But that makes him no different than every other war leader out there planning an attack on somebody else. You think the U.S. ain't planning, don't have contingency plans and plans in place to attack every last single country out there if the need be? Would they hesitate to create such plans if the need arose? Of course not. But from what officials are saying, there was no evidence that he was doing anything different or anything outside of the normal, which means that there was no evidence of an imminent and mandatory attack, which would qualify a self-defense killing, which makes this an unlawful assassination, aka she wrote. And again, I'm not even saying that I agree or disagree with whether or not this guy was a bad guy or not. I haven't gotten into that. Now, I have pointed out the hypocrisies present in the statement of making him evil while at the same time making other people that do the exact same thing heroic. But I haven't gotten into whether or not I think that he should have been killed or should not have been killed. The fact of the matter is he was killed and it was done in an illegal fashion. Now, if we are a nation of laws, then God damn it, I know better. So, this would also make Donald Trump a war criminal. But we also know that that don't mean anything because nobody gonna do nothing. Ain't nobody gonna do shit. Ain't none of the other countries gonna do shit. Congress ain't gonna do shit. Ain't nobody gonna do shit. And presidents regularly get pardoned for becoming war criminals. So, you know, you look at Bush, you just look at all of the war presidents we've had. So anyways, so what does this mean for the U.S.? It means that the U.S. has lost more influence in the Middle East. Iran has responded with missile strikes on two U.S. bases in Iraq that killed no soldiers. But the militias and militant organizations in the region have said that no American is safe anywhere. So more to follow in regards to responses from Iran and other military groups. Although a passenger plane was shot down flying over Iran, with many suspecting that this was also tied to the death of Soleimani. And there are reports coming out that an Iranian general has claimed credit for the shooting down of the Ukrainian airplane. Ukraine again. Terrorist groups in the region seem to be coming together somewhat, which doesn't look good for the U.S. either. Soleimani had done a wonderful job of getting many different factions and groups of different beliefs to work together in the region. The Iraqis have asked the U.S. to remove all its troops from the region. On the whole, the only country in the Middle East that seems to be cool is Saudi Arabia. But even they have been cautious in the way that they speak. The U.S. has responded by sending more troops into the region and ending its terrorist combat missions to fortify their positions from attack. Meaning the terrorist organizations that we are supposed to be over there fighting are getting a morale boost, an emotional charge, a breather, and new recruits. I really don't see where anything good has come or will come or could come out of this, outside of the fact that the U.S. House has passed a resolution to restrict the war powers of the president. But as of right now, even that is non-binding and meaningless because the Senate has to get on board. Good luck with that. So as it stands, the nuclear deal is totally wiped out. Iraq has asked the U.S. to leave their country. Terrorist organizations have united and pledged revenge. The U.S. has lost more influence and credibility. Russia has gained more influence and credibility. The U.S. has stopped fighting terrorist organizations and created a martyr. U.S. troops and personnel are in danger everywhere, including citizens and civilians. And we are going to be in the Middle East even longer. But hey, at least we look tougher.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for listening to Lessons from the Screen. I want to ask you guys to go to, if you have an Android device, go to the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Radio. You'll see the logo of the train. Download the app, get the app. It'll keep you up to date on all of the shows and everything else that's going on here at the Freedom Train Network. Also, head on over to www.freedomtrainradio.com and check out all the shows. Leave comments, leave reviews. If you want to reach us or say anything to us, that's the best way to do it. Because if you just reach out through your social media, your a podcast listening app or YouTube or whatever, we don't check all of those things, but we do check the website. So go there. Also, I just want to thank you guys once again for tuning in, and see you next week. Let me know what you think about the show you just listened to. Let me know if you agree, disagree, you felt like I missed something, whatever it is, just holla at your boy, and I will see you next week or whenever the next show comes out. And if you are interested in sponsoring the show again, hit us up on the Freedom Train Radio website and let us know that you're interested in sponsoring a particular show or the entire network.